Readings for today is Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 10 through 21. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not unto myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. You may be seated. Before I begin, I want to thank the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for this message. Believe me, I could not have done this without them, constantly feeding me verses and information. It just kept going on and on. The message today is focusing on seeking the counsel of the Lord. Special attention is made on these three introductory verses. Verse 13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, and he that he may abide with you forever. And verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. When Jesus Christ was crucified, the veil inside the temple was torn in two, no longer separating our Father from his people. He is in our temple so long as we will have him, these temples here. The question is, has it really sunk in that the Father and Son reside in us through the Holy Spirit? In the Old Testament, prophets and priests would petition for the people. Exodus 18, verse 19. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people, and bring the causes unto God. Numbers 27, verse 21. Eleazar the priest was asked counsel for the congregation of the Lord. Numbers 31, verse 16. Sons of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, did trespass against the Lord. Deuteronomy 32, verse 28. Israel is a nation lacking in counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Joshua 9, verse 14. Joshua did not ask for the counsel of the Lord, and made a contract with those whom he was to destroy. Joshua found out they lied to him. So since Joshua was compelled to not destroy them, due to the sworn affirmation of God, he made them slaves. Had Joshua sought the counsel of God, he would have known that these people in future generations would have been a thorn in Israel's side. In the book of Judges, we see where the Levite priests were paid to seek the counsel of the Lord. And one certain Levite priest in Judges 20 cut his concubine up into 12 pieces and shipped them to every tribe of Israel, telling them what men of the tribe of Benjamin had done to her. The tribes had sought the counsel of the Lord, and God told them to go up and destroy Benjamin, only to be defeated by Benjamin not once, but twice. Could be that these Israelite tribes were guilty of violating God's laws also. It was on the third time that God delivered Benjamin into their hands. So seeking the counsel of the Lord will not fare well if the seeker is in violation of the law. In 1 Samuel 14, Saul asked for the counsel of the Lord regarding going up against the Philistines, and God did not answer him. Saul was not a patient man, plus he did not do what was right in the eyes of God. In Kings and Chronicles, the counsel of the Lord was sought after by few kings, and instead the counsel of elders, friends, or self-counsel was a rule of the day, just as it is today. In Ezra 10, Ezra sought the counsel of the Lord to put away all the wives and children forbidden to be in the congregation of the Lord. In Psalm 16, verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. Psalms 20, verse 4, may he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. Psalms 32, verse 10 and 11. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen for naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart for generations. Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Psalms 106. David tells about the Israelites in the wilderness who did not wait for the counsel of the Lord. The waiting period could be that God has not sent his counsel yet, or that he has sent his counsel, but he has not manifested it to happen yet. Patience is a virtue. I myself lack this virtue, but not all the time. I'm learning. And speaking from experience, lacking in this virtue leads to doubt. And we all know that doubt destroys faith. Hebrews 6, verse 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, and confirmed it by oath. Throughout scriptures we can see the counsel comes either by man or by God. We also see that God is willing to give his counsel as long as we ask for it. And if we are obedient, as long as we are obedient and able to accept it. In the Gospel of John 15, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, if we abide in him. He will abide in us and bring forth much fruit. As long as this happens, whatever we ask for, it shall be done unto us. Thus the Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Jesus wants us to be his friend, not a servant. Jesus says that we have not chosen him, but he has chosen us. He has ordained us, and that we should go and bring forth fruit. Now in Psalms 24, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. Now who does not want to be a friend of one who owns everything, other than the Jews who want it all themselves, which they're doing a pretty good job of getting it. To sum this up, the Lord has chosen us and put his spirit in us. If we abide in that spirit, we can ask for anything and he will give it to us. We must bear fruit. We must bear fruit, for bearing fruit pleases the Father. So now we must figure out what fruit we are to bear. I always thought that trying to get others to wake up and see who they are in Scripture was bearing fruit. But this isn't so. Jesus chooses who his friends are. Those trying to bring others in that Jesus did not choose are not being fruitful. Could bearing fruit be seeking the counsel of the Lord? Could bearing fruit be doing what he says? Could bearing fruit mean growing more and more in the knowledge and wisdom of our God? We cannot be satisfied with just what we have or with what knowing who we are, for doing so will leave us dormant. And being dormant may cause us to look back and see what we had or what we have done. Doing this will leave us in the same state as Lot's wife, who turned into a pillar of salt. Seeking the counsel of the Lord is a type of prayer. In a moment, I will show you ways to seek the counsel of the Lord. Generally, when we pray, we are asking God to intervene on the matter we are praying for. Seeking the counsel of the Lord is asking God to direct us on a matter. With some prayers, such as praying for the sick, we are relying on God to miraculously intervene without us doing anything, but rather calling out to Him. Yes, praying to God in this way, we have no choice. I have to add this. We have no choice, for it's the only solution we have. It's the only thing we can do. Now, God's answers may come sometimes within that day or within a week or sometimes month or sometimes never. And I'll give an example. We pray to God for when we want people to have safe trips or if people are sick and are out of town. That's all we have is prayer because we cannot be there to help them or we can't drive for them in our travels and everything. Seeking the counsel of the Lord can get you answers right away. Seeking the counsel of the Lord can direct us what to do for the sick, of course, if the right questions are asked. How many of us has asked for the counsel of the Lord when we made a big purchase, like buying a house or a car or even food? Have we ever asked for the counsel of the Lord in regard to our health? Such as what doctor to see, or what type of doctor to see, or what medicines are good for us. Regarding purchases, we can never know the hidden problems with such purchases, such as termites, water problems in homes, defects in an engine of a car, or chemicals in our food. Yes, we get warranties, but problems usually occur after the warranties are up. This by no means is saying that our Lord does not want us to have these things. It means that seeking His counsel will lead us to items with less burdens. Asking our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on these matters is like a child asking his earthly father for advice on earthly matters. It shows trust, faith, and brings joy to our Father for including Him on all our needs. I have been to several herbalists and have been fascinated with their methods of testing for herbs and such. It is called muscle testing. I investigated the internet on muscle testing, and it is also known as applied kinesiology. It was originated by Dr. George Goodhart, a chiropractor, in 1967. I believe it was used long before Goodhart. He discovered that the strength or weakness of every muscle was connected to the health or lack of health of a specific corresponding organ. Dr. John Diamond, who worked as a psychiatrist with preventative medicine, found that the indicator muscles would strengthen or weaken in the presence of a positive or negative emotional and intellectual stimulus. Amy B. Scher, an author and energy therapist, writes, "Muscle testing is getting answers from your subconscious mind to find out what impact something is having on our energy system. Just like plants and trees, your body will naturally be drawn to the positive or the truth, and I put an emphasis on truth, while naturally repel itself away from something that does not feel good to it." Imagine a Jew trying to do this, for there is no truth in them. Another article that I found states that you can get inconsistent results when you are tired, under stress, under the influence of a toxin, and unable to focus in the moment. If inconsistent, drink some water and try later. Accuracy is very dependent on desiring only the truth. This can be the greatest block to accuracy. For if you are intent on getting one answer, and you would be disappointed if you got the other, you are not being objective, and you are not desiring the truth. All the articles suggested focusing on the item in your mind. The writer of this article says some people want to use muscle testing to tell them what to do or to predict the future. From their perspective, self-muscle testing is accessing your personally learned and accepted subconscious information. This is what is called the writing on the wall. This writing is made up of thoughts, beliefs, and values we acquired from parents, school, religion, experiences, etc. In their experience, our subconscious information is often biased and not necessarily higher truth. Granted, what was said here is true, but the writer could have stated that to get the higher truth, refer to Gospel of John chapter 14. I see this as a way of communicating with our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It should be used just as much as any communication device out there. When communicating, if we focus on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are focusing on truth. I have found out that communicating this way must be done from day to day and should not be relied on for future assessments for our own personal gain. Future assessments were given to all the writers of Scripture, both for good and bad. At this time, we will try this exercise. Who wants to volunteer?
Joe.
You're the lucky one. Yeah, come up here. No, just stand right there. Now, I'm going to ask a question. You focus on the question. You stand still. You say the question, you know, I'm going to ask you. And you just relax and let your body do whatever it's going to do. Don't fight it. Don't resist anything. All right? Just ask, which way is yes? Which way is yes?
Which way is yes?
Focus on the question. Did you feel any movement? Okay, just relax. I caught you moving, but you're resisting. Just don't resist. Which way is yes?
Which way is yes?
Say, which way is no?
Which way is no?
Okay, I can't get a response from you. Once you get used to this, you'll find out which way. There's several different ways to test yourself. My way, I found out that if you hold something against you or you ask a question, I go forward. And if the answer is yes, it's a yes and no answer. Otherwise, if it's a no answer, you'll fall backwards. And then they have other ways where you can test with your fingers. That's something you got to acquire. But I will give you this. I want you to put this up against your chest and just relax and just say, is this product good for me?
Is this product good for me?
You got your bent knees bent a little bit. You got to be relaxed. Are you relaxed? I always get an answer from this. Is this product good?
Good for me? Is this product good for me? I would say yes.
You're saying yes? I'll tell you if you're right or not.
Is this product good for me? this one.
Okay. Now this time I want you to do something. I want you to focus that you're in a room with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? And then ask that question.
Is this product good for me?
Actually, your body should have told you. I'll tell you if you're right or not.
Okay.
No, you weren't right. Well,
sorry.
You're just not too good for me on this matter. How about somebody else?
You asked him the first question, well, maybe as many as three times, he went on his toes going forward.
Yeah?
Being yes.
Mm-hmm. But he was resisting.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to get at. If you resist, you're not going to get an answer. You want an answer. You're demanding an answer. God always told us, just what I just showed on the Gospel of John. He told us that if we're in him, he will be with us. So if he's giving you an answer, don't resist it. That's what I'm trying to get at. Don't resist. Accept the answer the way it was given. So this way, let's see what you do. Don't resist. You ask which way is yes.
Forward.
You felt it. Ask which way is no.
Stop or backwards.
Okay, now ask it what your name is. State your name and ask if that is my name.
Is my name James? Yes.
Then ask, is your name Laura?
Is my name Laura?
Okay, now you try this. Put that on your chest. Is that product good for you?
Is this product good for me? Yes.
Try this one.
Is this product good for me? I know if I say yes again, but I'm saying yes.
This one was right.
Okay.
That one's... Unless you like paint thinner.
Paint thinner.
I want to tell you my experiences with this. They tell us that this is something that you got to acquire in. You play with it, and you can acquire it. And I want to tell you an experience that I had. Back in February, I was having problems. I could never sleep on my left side. I couldn't figure out what was wrong. I've gone to see a chiropractor and everything, and nothing would ever. He'd adjust me or something, you know, on my neck or anything, but nothing would ever help. So then I went to see this other nutritionist. This nutritionist had a method of putting a device in your hand and he'd do acupuncture. Now, he'd take a needle and he'd push in the major points of your body to find out what was weak and what was strong. And he would get a reading that way. It was the same thing as what this is. And it came up that I had to go through certain medicines. Well, what I went up through certain medicines was doing the recommended herbs that he gave. My symptoms became worse. And then I had to wait 2 months before I went back to see him. I was having troubles. I'd have pain shoot down my leg and everything. Then I told you, I said, well, I'm going to start asking God where I should go. So then I asked on certain matters, and it came back that I should go down to see this Amish doctor. So I went down there, and he was the one that told me that I had kidney stones. He gave me some stuff for that. So then he told me in a month, you take this for a month, and you'll get rid of the kidney stones. Well, he was right. I no longer had the back pain going there, but I still had pain in my back. But it was pain in my side. So then I went and I asked God for advice on who should I see then. So he said, go back to the nutritionist. And I went back to the nutritionist, and I said to him, how is it that you could not tell me that I was having kidney stones? He said, you didn't have kidney stones at the time. What's happening is when I gave you some herbs and stuff, what that was doing was chasing the toxins out of your body. And this is almost like the Battle of Armageddon in Revelations. When the toxins are being defeated and are starting to remove from your body, they grab hold of something. And they cause you to have problems, such as forming a kidney stone. And he says, go ahead and continue taking. I couldn't foresee what your problems were going to be from whatever herbs I gave you, because I know they were going to make you worse at the start. So I went back, so that's what he told me. And then he said, continue with the kidney stones. And he says, I recommend you see a chiropractor for your lower back, your pain going down your side. So I inquired with God again. He sent me to this doctor, this chiropractor. I haven't been to this chiropractor in 8-10 years. And I went there, and immediately he knew what was wrong with me. He put me on a decompression machine. And I've gone through 5 of them, and it has made my back a whole lot better. The pain's not completely gone. He says I have a degenerated disc that is crushed down, and it's crushing that in the pelvis. It's crushing the sciatic nerve. But it has improved. I've seen him for 5 times, and it has improved considerably. And I just wanted to say that asking for the counsel of the Lord is like faith with works. You can have the faith, but you have to have the works to go with it. If I was to have the faith, and I can't expect God to answer all my questions, I have to meet him halfway. Whatever he tells us to do, we have to do. We have to meet him halfway, which reminds me of a movie I watched a long time ago, and I don't know why this movie comes out into my head. But what this little boy said, it was called Where the Red Fern Grows. It was a movie about a little boy that had a coon dog, and it was a champion coon dog. And this dog cornered a raccoon up into a tree, and he couldn't get the raccoon down, and he stayed there through the night waiting for that coon to come down so the coon dog could catch him. Then it happened. So he went home and he got an axe, and this was a big tree, and he started cutting that tree down. And his hands were all blistered and everything. And he says, Lord, I'm meeting you halfway. I'm halfway through this tree, and I can't do it anymore. And with that, the wind came and blew the tree down. The coon came down. So it's amazing in how God will react like this. That we meet him halfway, if we're willing to meet him halfway, go through our troubles, go through whatever he asks. And if I can attune you all to apply this kinesiology and listen to what your body is telling you, it will direct you on what you can and cannot do, what he recommends. If I was to go and continue going without asking God for help, I might be in the hospital. And through past experiences, my wife and I really don't want to go through a hospital visit ever again. It's led to a disaster. And anything that I can get without going to a hospital, I'll do, unless God tells me I should go. But what I'm trying to get here is to seek the counsel of the Lord and try to work out methods to be able to seek that counsel and get an answer, whether through what I was trying to show you, to relax and accept whatever he gives you. And there's one other movie I wanted to bring up. And that was called John Travolta, and it was called Phenomenon. He was stricken with some kind of disease in his brain, but this led him to so much information on so many things. And he told his friend he could do anything. He could read a book and read a language and within an hour and know the language. And he told his friend, he says, we have been filled up with so much garbage in our heads that we don't know what truth is. And this is pretty much what these doctors were saying, that we are programmed through our subconscious from what we've been taught, and we don't know that what we've been taught is true or not. And the only person that we can ask for truth is through God himself. And seeking the counsel of God will lead us to all truth. Now, does anybody else want to try this test? Please. Okay, well, on that note, I will end. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Always seeking the counsel of the Lord. I just want to let you know that it has helped me. And if you can attune yourself to getting an answer, finding out which way your direction your body is telling you, and you're seeking the counsel of the Lord.